Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 15th, 2015. Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
I'm going to leave that slide up there for a little bit. We're going to hear some words from the Apostle John. And the Apostle John is on an island that they put people to die. We know from history that he didn't die there. And while he was there, and while the Roman Empire was in the process of exterminating Christianity, the Lord gave him a vision so that he would not be overwhelmed with sadness. He would not be afraid. He would be reminded repeatedly that Jesus wins, no matter what, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how old or how young you are, Jesus wins. Heavenly Father, this is your word. You mean it for our encouragement. You mean it for our benefit. You mean it for your glory. So do these things in us as we hear it read and explained and applied. Work it deep into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now from Revelation of John chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, those are beautiful words. They come from two chapters of God's word that when I was sick as a young boy, I almost memorized just because I read them again and again and again. Beautiful words. These are words that at the end of the Bible connect us with the beginning of the Bible. Remember the beginning of the Bible where God says he created everything? He just spoke it into existence. Then he, out of that whole thing, he created earth. And then on earth, he filled it with vegetation and animals and all sorts of wonderful things. And then he created Adam and Eve, the first husband and wife. They put them in that garden. And what about the Garden of Eden? Remember the Garden of Eden? Only things that were good for food and pleasing to the eye were allowed to grow in the Garden of Eden. It was a great place. Every evening they would go on a stroll and chit-chat with God about their day. What an awesome thing that was. Now we know that from Genesis to Revelation is a history of sinful mankind and God working his way to redeem us back to himself. In that whole series of time and events that happened, God was keeping a promise that he made to Adam and Eve as they overheard the crushing defeat of the Satan who had taken over a snake. God promised to send someone born of a woman who was going to crush Satan's head. And this warrior would be bit in the heel, but the snake was dead. Revelation tells us It happened just like God laid it out. And because you and I and every other Christian believes that, we can say with absolute confidence, heaven is my home. It's my home. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because you're here in church on Sunday morning. Thank you very much. It's a beautiful morning out there. How come I'm not out there doing that? No, that's not why you're in heaven. You're not in heaven because you've been a lifelong Christian. You're not in heaven because you just recently came to faith and you can remember what it was like not being a believer. No, it has nothing to do with us. It's by God's grace, by God's incredible love. The book of Ephesians tells us that before the creation, God chose us to be in him. If you have trouble sleeping at night, ponder that thought. God had you and me in mind in this year, 2015, before he said, let there be light. Whoa. He had in mind to rescue me by taking every one of my sins and nailing them in the body to Jesus Christ on a cross outside of Jerusalem before he formed the earth. Wow. We have a God who incredibly loves us, God who incredibly loves you who trust in Jesus Christ, because we know the whole story. We know from Genesis to Revelation, we know that. We know that God stepped into history and he lived for us and he died for us on the cross and then he came back to life. And then he said, trust me in this. I've taken your sins. Heaven is your home. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And by the way, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back so that you can be with me. That's God's promise. God who has never broken a promise. By his grace, heaven is my home. It's God's place, by the way. It's not mine. So how does God describe his place? Well, depending on how well you know me, you know that my office is not a place where I would feel comfortable inviting, the president and his cabinet to come. I would not feel comfortable inviting people who are really particular for having things neat and in order into my office. You know why that is? Because I have so many different projects going on. It's all over the place. It's all scattered. It looks like a complete mess. And there are some people who really want things to be ordered and just right. If you come to my house and I've been sick for a week and Donna's been sick for a week, you can pretty much guarantee that the house is going to be not looking so good. God's house is good all the time because that's where God is. And what's really neat is how God describes his house. You know, I'll describe my house. I'll say, well, you know, upstairs we have a couch. We have two chairs, comfortable chairs I like. And downstairs we have another couch. We have a TV and we have a piano so I can play as loud as I want. I won't destroy everybody's eardrums in the house. But God describes his house in a completely different way. He tells us what's not there. He tells us what is not in his home. Listen to this. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what's not there. In God's place, what's there? They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Finally, we have Emmanuel. God, when he describes this city, and he's given this vision to John. John, first of all, describes what he sees as a great city. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. All of God's people are described as a city. The new Jerusalem. What does it mean, new? What's really neat is in the Bible, there are two different words for new. We translate them the same way in English. And we have a little shades of new English too. Let's say a couple years ago, you heard about the Ford Prius. And that was a new thing. That's a new thing. Kind of an electric car, kind of not, kind of, wow, that's a new thing. So if you were to go out and buy a Prius, you'd say, I got a new Prius, meaning it wasn't here last year. Now it's here. I have a new Prius. God doesn't say that word. He says new this way. Yeah, I saw so many people had a good thing with the Prius that this year I bought a new Prius. Was it new as in it never existed before? Well, no. It's upgraded. It's kind of the same, but it's really not the same because it's so better. And that's the word that's used here, the new Jerusalem. It's you and I coming down from heaven, and we're the new Jerusalem. The same, but different, better, an upgrade. The Lord in the gospel said, we don't die anymore. There's so much closeness between God and his people that there's no need for marriage anymore. Can you even imagine that? I can't even get my head around that. And the Lord says there's so much joy and peace and intimacy in heaven where I will know the Lord and the Lord will know me that marriage, that's not there. Wow. And there's no sorrow and no sadness and no mourning and no crying and no pain. No pain. What a great place. That's God's place. Then as John is looking at this picture of this heavenly city, this holy city of New Jerusalem, the picture changes. And he says it's like a bride. Now, I've been to a lot of weddings. Sometimes I've been in charge of them. Sometimes I married them. Sometimes I just watched them. Neat thing about weddings, just is so cool. Every wedding, when the bride comes in, everyone forgets about the groom. They all look at the bride because the bride is the most beautiful person they've ever seen. Why is that? You know, their face is just shining out with joy. Where's the groom? Well, who cares? Look at that bride. How cool. What a dress. How sparkly. Her smile. She's just beaming joy. You just want to be around her just to be in that little aura, that little bubble of joy. That's how it is when you and I are in God's presence. Like a bride. Wow. Beautifully dressed for her husband. Heaven. The place of no more stuff, no more bad stuff, no more terrorists blowing up people, no more fear, no more big thunderstorms scaring people, no more power outages during winter making people afraid. Nothing bad gets into heaven. And by God's grace, you and I are going to be in that place. By God's grace, we're going to be in God's place. And what I think is a really neat thing, just jumped out at me as I was studying this, is how we are going to be before his face. We're going to see him face to face. Look at what he says. He says, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. Now, as a pastor, I know some of the things that hurt sheep. I know some of the tears that are cried. But God knows it all. God knows every battle. God knows every disappointment. God knows every terrible thing that sin and its consequences have brought into life. And in heaven, face to face with the living God, he doesn't just say, poof, go away. No, he gently wipes away every tear from our eyes. 100% attention of the living God. So in his name, dear friends, remember that this week. Satan's going to be trying to get you to forget that. This wicked world surely is not going to remind you of that. So you have to remember to do what Jesus said. Look at the signs. Wars and rumors of wars, increasing violence, people being brazen in their sin. Jesus says those are signs that he's coming back. And when he comes back, heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.